gold, and my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul, in my soul.
Amen, amen, amen. Again, we want to thank Brother Moore and Brother Jameson Rose for getting us going singing on Super Sunday. Amen. Appreciate also announcements, Brother Charles Dickerson, for prayer. Brother William Harris, one of our elders. We appreciate also the reading of God's word. Brother William Knott, one of our deacons. And so God has blessed us thus far with the service. I want to mention briefly that, first I'll do this. We want to welcome our visitors, all of those that might be visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are an honored guest when you come to the Redford congregation. Don't have any visitors cards, but if there are any visitors to my left who would like to be acknowledged, please stand, give us your name and where you're from at this time. Any to my left. All right, I know I met some granddaughter and a friend back there. Okay, so you can just stand if you want to. All righty. Sister cousins, praise the Lord. Good to have you in our midst today. Are there any, and we have a gift coming your way. We appreciate you being in our presence this morning. Are there any to my right who would like to be acknowledged this morning? Again, we thank you for your presence, and it's just wonderful to be in the house of God this morning. I want to solicit on behalf of Sister Lynette Eagleton prayers for her mom. I received a call last night. She's in, her mom is in the hospital and very ill. And so just prayers that if God's will is that she might be raised up. Also, you notice I don't have my sidekick with me today. Sister Snow had some corrective surgery on Monday, and it's real painful. So she had gone through that phase of recuperating. It's about 2 weeks that it's supposed to be, and she's kind of ahead of the curve, so to speak. So she's doing well, but continue to keep her in prayer also. And she sent her love to everyone. This morning, would you turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Genesis? You've read verses 1 through 9, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 19 and then share with you the Word of God. The Bible says, from the New American Standard, "And then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I,' or 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the place of his that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.' And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn and declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the sea. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. A test is often used to determine or to assess how much has been learned or how much progress has been made. Sometimes a test is used to discover hidden information. Recently, tests have revealed lead in the water in Flint and also at a local elementary school. These tests analyze the quality and the purity of the water. But that's not the only kinds of tests. In our text this morning, we find that God has a test of his own. God has tests that determine the character and the level of dedication of his people. The message this morning is a faith that is tested. A faith that is tested. These scriptures tell us that Abraham's faith was tested. He was asked to believe the impossible. And what I mean by that is, when we read in Genesis chapter 17, 15 through 19, the Bible tells us that Abraham was, when the angel came to him first, 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. And Abraham's response that you're going to have a child is that he laughed. And Sarah was eavesdropping in on the conversation at the door of the tent. And when she heard it, she laughed. But the angel of the Lord said, don't laugh at what God says is going to happen. And Abraham said, how in the world can me, a man who will be 100 years old, he's looking ahead when the child will be born, have a son? But the angel told him, don't you worry about that. You just get ready, because it's going to happen. So we see then that Abraham and Sarah were promised that they would have a son, and it seemed like an impossibility to them. But let us remember that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 11, by faith, talking about a little bit later, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who made the promise. Now, I don't want to get too much up into it, but do you understand what's going on here? If you've read your newspapers, I haven't heard of anyone having a child beyond 60 or somewhere around there. And boy, that's pushing it a lot, amen? But when God does what God does, there is indisputable. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. He comes to this couple who have been barren for all of these years, and they've substituted and they've done all kinds of stuff to try to make something happen, but it wasn't God's way. They've had Ishmael, and that wasn't right. And so God says, Didn't I tell you I'm going to bless you and you're going to have a child? So now it's coming to the point, after all of this time, and God says it's going to happen. Faith was involved in the first place to even fool around. I know you didn't get that. I'm going to move on. So the Bible says that God caused her to conceive, even when it was way beyond the time. Amen? We're going to move on. You got me. But then, as if that wasn't enough, the child is born. Sarah raises the child and weans the child and provides for the child and nurtures the child. And when the child is older, as a lad now, God says, I want you to make the ultimate sacrifice in the scriptures that we've just read. I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, your only son. You see, Abraham could have said, well, you know, how about Ishmael? You know, son. But no, that wasn't going to work. God made it clear, your only son. I want you to sacrifice him. The reason it was a test, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and fellow Christians, is because he loved his son. Amen. He loved God, and it was not an easy thing to do. You ever had a math test and the math professor or your instructor made it real easy? I don't think so. I don't think so. You find that it was challenging. It was a little hard. You had to do some study. You had to know your formulas, and you had to know your laws of math and algebra, or whatever it is that you're taking. It was not an easy test. It was a hard test. Did you notice? A voice from heaven spoke, the angel of the Lord. Our Lord spoke and told him that I'm going to provide for you. There was a ram stuck in the thickets, a ram in the bush. God provided the substitution. We can't imagine all of the things that went through his mind. How in the world is it that you give me a son, Lord, and now you expect me to take his life and sacrifice him to you? Lord, I ain't never heard of nobody else. Now, this is where you and I would be. Lord, I ain't heard of nobody else sacrificing their son. What in the world are you asking me to do? But that wasn't Abraham. Abraham, as the text indicated, took the wood, took the fire, laid his son on the fire. And on that prepared and was ready to make the sacrifice, raising his hand, and then God spoke. God provided on that occasion. But here's something that had happened. As you notice the text also, it said, but now I know that you fear God and that you withhold nothing from me. I want to ask the question this morning. What are you withholding from God? Some of us are withholding our kids. We let them do just any and everything that they want to do. Spoil them, but we don't give them any spiritual guidance, and we don't give them any direction and any word from the Lord. You may be withholding your kids, and you may think that you're doing something that's good, that they're enjoying life. But if you withhold your children from God, it's not a good thing. Amen? What are you withholding from God? Some of us give God everything but our money. Amen? But Abraham and Sarah passed the test. They passed the test because they were able to obey God, even under difficult circumstances. In James 2 and verse number 23, the Bible points out, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He's called a friend of God because he obeyed God. Amen. He didn't talk back to God. He didn't have an argument with God. He didn't doubt God. He just did what God told him to do. We need more disciples. We need more followers of God today who do that. Amen. Don't question God. Don't think, well, Lord, wouldn't it be better if we did it this way? You know, well, God said, the Bible says to do that. But, well, you know. No, Abraham, he just did what God told him to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, the word of God says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Let me tell you something. What the scripture is saying, Abraham could have used a technicality. Lord, I cannot sacrifice my son because he's supposed to have many descendants. I can't kill him because he'll never cut off and never break your promise. Just let God worry about the promise. Abraham did what God told him to do. Abraham said, if he tells me to take his life, and if I do it, I know God can raise him up. I know God can patch him up and God can put him back together because I know what he can do. Let me share something else with you. Not only Abraham and other Bible characters have had their faith tested, but I want to say this morning, how is your faith being tested? Some of us are dealing with a test right now. Some of us have experienced one recently. It may be you're battling with illness. I know someone who spent a whole month in the hospital. I know someone who lost a wife. I know someone who lost a husband. I know someone who lost a mother, a father, a child, a grandmother, an uncle, a niece. And I know some who have gone through a divorce. I know some who have experienced a job loss. And I know some who have gotten to the point in life where you're dealing with the emptiness syndrome. You've always been busy raising kids and running them here and running them there. And now you find yourself, the two of you, just looking at each other. Maybe you were two ships passing in the night, but now you're on the same ship. And you got to spend some time with each other. And so you got to find what it was that brought you together in the first place. Am I talking to anybody? How's your faith being tested right now? I dropped by to say this morning that we need to realize in Isaiah 40 verse 10 that we will have some tests in our life. But notice what Isaiah said. Behold, I have refined you. And this is what God is saying through Isaiah. Behold, I have refined you. but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. When you've gone through something, then you realize that you have had a test. And see, the difference with a child of God is everybody has tribulations and everybody has issues and everybody has stuff. But when you're a child of God, it can be a test that will either make you better or to make you worse. Amen. And if we stay with God, and that's the story this morning, keep on obeying God, keep on doing God's will, you'll end up stronger. God has already worked out your deliverance. Just as the ram was already placed in the thicket or the bush, God has already worked out what you need. God got it. Don't worry about it. Amen. Somebody got to be here this morning I'm talking to. What will you do when your faith is tested? I hope you will. Praise God. Amen. Hey, that's why we can have a Super Sunday. That's why we can sing songs and praise. You see, when we come here, we ought to get energized because we're connecting and our spirits are connecting with the Spirit of God. Amen. I hope you will recommit your life when you find yourself being tested, your faith being tested. I hope you will determine in your heart that you're going to serve God more. It is my prayer that you pass the test by showing your loyalty to God. Listen to the words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. As Peter is talking to a various group of Christians in different places, he says to them, his fellow counterparts, you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, when your faith is tested, you ought to have a hallelujah day. Amen. There ought to be some praise. There ought to be some glory. There ought to be some honor going up to God. Amen. To be tested is a very important thing. I'm going to share something with you. No test of faith, no testimony. No test of faith, no testimony. Your test of faith provides a testimony. Let me share something with you. In 2007, I went to a doctor's, normal doctor's visit and whatever, and they do a battery of tests. And one of those tests, it's called a PSA, ended up too high. And I got a conscientious doc, so he said, you better get that checked out. So it meant I had to go and I had to consult with someone who was a specialist in that area. And it ended up I had to have a biopsy. And then from there it said, you're going to have to make some choices about how this is going to be treated. You know, it's at a low stage, it's contained in all of this, but you're going to have to do something about this. Not long after that, my sister, who was a member here, became ill. And she was in the hospital and she had colon cancer. And she had a very strenuous operation She was on life support, and I saw her, she was in a bubble, how they were preserving her. And after going through many operations, I determined that, you know, Lord, I don't know how I could deal with this. And I said something to God. I said, you know, Lord, I am not able to take this right now. Don't let her pass. And don't you know, God allowed her to get up, come out of that bubble bag, to go home, and to live another year. And so then still I got some stuff going on. I've got to deal with. In 2008, two things significant happened. She passed away on, and I always think about this when we have the holiday, Martin Luther King Day. So that day takes on a different meaning for me. But then I had to deal with something else. I had to deal with taking care of the situation that I had. And I said, Lord, I just am going to put it in your hands. And so what I did was made a choice that was the least invasive, amen. Determined that here was some radiation, that they had a laser beam, and all they had to do was just 15 minutes a day for 45 days. I'd be treated with that. And now, this is no easy thing, but I'm sharing this because it's a testimony. During this time, God showed me some blessings that I couldn't believe. None of you probably even knew that anything was going on with me, simply because that's what God did for me. Every day I'd get up, head over to Beaumont, lay on this little bed, and get the laser treatment. But let me share something with you. I determined after the first day, while I'm laying up here, I ain't going to have a pity party. I'm going to take this time to pray to God and to pray for everybody else. And those 15 minutes just zipped right on away. God made it such that I didn't feel nothing, didn't get weak, kept on doing what I was doing to the glory and the honor of God. And when it was over, I said, well, maybe the PSA will be 0.5. It was 0.2. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. So I share that with you simply to say that if there's no test, there's no testimony. If you haven't been through something, if you haven't experienced something, and if you haven't kept on serving God, then you don't have anything to talk about. Amen. Let me move on. When your faith is tested, things will show up. Amen. Just like the water analysis, lead showed up. Amen. Or the stress test that is ordered by your doctor. If you got a problem, something's going to show up. Amen. The CT scan is used. If there's something that's wrong, it's going to show up. Amen? So it is with your faith. Whatever is there will show up. Whatever you have in you, it's going to show up. But here's what I say. Let God's test bring out the best in you. When you're tested of God, be a shining example for him. When things have gotten rough, when you are off your feet and it's not going the way you want it to go, then why don't you let that time be a testimony, because God can do some wonderful things for you. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 3, it says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. Just let God work it out. Just let God work on your character. Just let God build up your faith. Just let God strengthen the areas where you're weak. Because God is more than able. He's in the business every day of taking care of you. Are you willing to do more for God? Will you teach a class this year? Will you visit the sick? Will you serve in whatever capacity that you can? Will you give more of yourself this year? Will you lead over and be over a ministry or some work or where your talents can be used? God, you see, as we live life, life is a test. And so we might as well be found serving God. We might as well be engaged in our energy and giving our energy in the service of the Lord. Lessons learned from the things that we've looked at this morning. Number one, we can have confidence in God. In Psalms 17, verse number 3, the Bible says, "You have tried my heart, you have visited me by night, you have tested me and you find nothing." Again, he's not saying there's nothing there at all. What he's saying is, you haven't found me to be evil at heart. You haven't found me to not love you. What you found is that I'm dedicated to you. Those are the words of David. God will provide. Lesson learned number two. God will provide for us. God already has the solution. God already has what you need. God already has what it takes to extend, what it takes to strengthen you and to build you up. God already has it taken care of. All we have to do is have faith and trust in him. God will richly, lesson number three, bless those who pass the test. We quote Revelation 2, verse 10 a lot, but we quote the last part of it. Listen to the whole scripture. In Revelation 2, 10, it says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer." And this was spoken to Christians who were going through the persecution. "Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. That's not literal. He says, "But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." As I close, I'm going to tell you a story about cosmonauts. And when I say cosmonauts, those obviously are Soviet. We call them astronauts. In December 29th, 1987, a cosmonaut came back from a 326-day orbit of the Earth. But he was in good condition. He was in good health. That had not been the case 5 years before. 5 years before, two cosmonauts had gone up for a shorter period of time, 211 days, and they came back, and they were having all kinds of health issues. They were having heart palpitations, slow heart rate. They couldn't walk even a week after they had gotten back. And those symptoms went on for months afterwards. That's because when you're up in space, there's zero gravity. And here's the catch to it. You don't have to exert any energy. And so the solution that the Soviets came up with was they made a penguin suit, that like a running suit that the cosmonauts had to wear. But what this suit did, every move that they made, it like tried to restrict them, tried to work against them from doing it. So they had to work harder in order to do something. Simply because our bodies, when we do nothing, sets up with entropy. Our muscles begin to waste away. Some of us think in life that it's just going to be a bowl of cherries, that it's not going to be any resistance, that everything is going to be easy. But let me tell you, God uses tests. God uses these things to make us stronger spiritually. Only when we exert, only when we use our faith, only when we depend on our faith, do we get stronger. If you think that you're going to always have a bright, shiny day, even though it's Super Sunday, say it again, Super Sunday, praise the Lord. It's great, but God is working with us, and He's already has your deliverance already planned out. So just keep the faith, keep on following God, and God will continue to bless you immensely. One thing, and the lesson is yours. Faith obeys God. We take that away from the lesson in Abraham. If you have faith, you obey God. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have faith, you've heard God. You believe God. You need to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we've got to do something about sin. It's just like a bad diagnosis. You can't put your head in the sand. You can't ignore it. You got to do something about it. We all have a terminal diagnosis called sin. You got to do something about it. But God already has a solution. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to be willing to confess Christ to be the Lord of your life. You got to put your life in His hands. And then you got to be buried with Him in baptism. Baptism is just like those machines, radiation or the medicine or whatever you want it to be. It attacks it and it kills it. Baptism is God's way of washing away our sins. God already has that prepared, see? Thousands of years before now, God had the remedy and the salvation for you and me. If you're here this morning and you know you've got a terminal diagnosis of sin, you got to do something about it sooner or later. Why don't you make it today? Why don't you determine that you're going to walk out on faith, believing that God, if you give your life to Christ, He'll take care of everything else. Be willing to confess Him before men and be buried in baptism. You will arise a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you will be added to the Lord's church. But, as Revelation 2:10 says, we have to be faithful unto death, and then we will receive the crown of life. If you're here this morning and you know you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing. Just as